In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, as we begin the season of Advent, let this wreath remind us that Jesus Christ came to conquer the darkness of sin and to lead us into the light of his glorious kingdom. As the prophet Isaiah says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, the true light who comes into the world to enlighten all people, bless us as we light the candles of this wreath in preparation for your coming, and enkindle in our hearts the fire of your love, that we may receive you with joy and gladness, and evermore remain steadfast in the faith. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless this wreath for use in his church throughout this holy season of Advent.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame.
Let now my enemies exalt, O
confession, we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will rise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them. Then they shall dwell in their own land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
None who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. Gratify his desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the gospel.
Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord needs them," and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This is the gospel of the Lord.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Behold, the days are coming. This will happen. It will take place. I, the Lord, promise, and I am faithful to my promises. This promise given by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah is a continuation of the promise he began promising the moment our first parents ate of the forbidden fruit in the garden and brought sin into the world. I will send the seed of the woman who will crush the serpent's head and save you. It's the promise of salvation that the Lord reconfirms with each and every generation throughout the Old Testament. The promise of the seed of the woman, the righteous branch, the suffering servant, the prophet of prophets, the Messiah, the King, is passed on through Seth, to Noah, to Abraham, to Jacob, to Jacob's sons, to Moses, to Joshua, to the judges, to David, and to all the prophets. The Lord will rescue his people. He will save them from their sins. Behold, the days are coming when the righteous branch will be raised up to reign forever. Behold, O daughter of Zion, your king is coming to you. This will happen. It will take place. I, the Lord, promise, and I am always faithful to my promises. But the years came and went. Decades passed. Then centuries. Then millennia. For thousands of years, God's people waited for him to fulfill his promise. I think we often lose sight of this fact. God's people waited for thousands of years. We read through the Old Testament today and see the clarity of our Lord's promise passed on from generation to generation, from Adam all the way through Malachi, the last of the prophets, and we wonder how it is that the Israelites could grow so impatient and allow doubt to creep in and lead them away from trusting and clinging to this promise. But we really shouldn't wonder about this, my friends. We know how hard it is to wait. Patience is a virtue that has not been mastered by a single sinner who has ever lived. The Israelites were an impatient bunch. So are we. There is no difference. But our Lord is well aware of this fact. Thus does he provide for his people during their long wait. He does not simply give them the promise of the coming Messiah and abandon them to their waiting. He dwells with them and brings the blessings of that promise into their reality. He cares for them as though he has already fulfilled his promise. He sets up for them a sacrificial system and atones for their sins with the blood of animals, which pointed forward to the blood of the Lamb to come. He establishes his presence among them in the tabernacle and temple and in the synagogues. He is with them wherever his word is preached, wherever his promise is spoken and clung to. There, among his people, he brings the fulfillment of his promise to them long before it is actually fulfilled in time. He feeds them. He forgives them. He sustains them. He is with them as they wait. So it is with us, dear friends. We live on the other side of the promise fulfilled. Today, as we usher in a new church year, we witness the fulfillment of that promise. Behold, the days are coming when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And today, we witness the fulfillment of the promise to the daughter of Zion that her king is coming to her. For today, we witness the fulfillment of the promise uttered in the Garden of Eden, that the seed of the woman would come and crush the serpent's head. For today, we are blessed to see the promise fulfilled as our Lord Jesus Christ, the promised seed of the woman, the righteous branch, the king, the Messiah to come, rides into Jerusalem to fulfill all that he promised to fulfill. The Lord is faithful to his promises. He said that it would take place, and it did. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, lived the perfect life for us in our flesh, and rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to go to the cross, to shed his holy and innocent blood in our place, to make full atonement for all of our sins. After thousands of years of waiting, God's people have the promise fulfilled for them. But now, there is more waiting to do for God's people. We do not wait for our salvation to be fulfilled. That's done. The Messiah has come and has accomplished everything necessary for our salvation. There is not a single thing left to do. But that same Messiah, Jesus our Lord, he is coming back. Behold, the day is coming when the King who rode into Jerusalem lowly and humbly will return in great glory to usher in the new heavens and new earth, his eternal kingdom. There is still yet one promise of our Lord to be fulfilled, the promise to bring an end to this dead and dying world and to bring his people into paradise, where they shall dwell with him forever. And so, we wait. Just like the Israelites of old, we wait. For 2,000 years, we've been waiting. And the world scoffs at us as we wait. It's been 2,000 years already, you goofballs. He's not coming. It's all a hoax. It's nothing but superstition. You wait in vain. But we know different. We know that the Lord is faithful to his promises. He fulfilled his promise to come. He will fulfill his promise to come again. That it's been 2,000 years shouldn't surprise us. God's people waited for at least twice that amount of time for him to come the first time. He came at just the right time, at the very moment and hour he had determined from eternity to come. The same is true of his second coming. He will come at just the right time, and the very moment and hour he has determined from eternity to come. He will come, dear friends, when the last elect person, whom he has chosen from before the foundation of the world was laid, has been brought to faith into his kingdom and saved. When that day shall come is not for us to know. It could be today or thousands of years from now. What is for us to know, what is for God's people to know, is that that day will surely come, even as the day of his first advent surely came. And so, we wait. That's what Advent really is all about. Waiting. Waiting in repentance and faith. It's a time for self-examination. A time for penitential preparation. A time to take stock of our sinful lives and recognize the need we have of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, to come. That waiting is hard for sinners. It's easy to grow lax and impatient. But again, your Lord knows this. Thus does he provide for you, his people, as you wait. He does not simply give you the promise of his second coming of Jesus and abandon you to your waiting. He dwells with you and brings the blessings of that promise into your already now reality. He cares for you as though he has already fulfilled his promise. He sets up for you his holy church, where he comes to you at the font, pulpit, and altar. He establishes his presence among you in this holy church, and is truly with you in the holy absolution, holy preaching, and most poignantly in the Holy Supper, where he delivers to you, dear friends in Christ, the very body and blood he shed for your sins on the cross. He is with you. He has always been with his people. He is a God who locates himself and dwells in the midst of his people. He brings the fulfillment of his promise to return to you already now. For he feeds you. He forgives you. He sustains you. He is with you as you wait. So, dear friends in Christ, on this first Sunday in Advent, as we usher in a new church year, repent and believe. Repent of your impatience, of your letting the busyness of this dead and dying world, especially at this time of the year, get the best of you all too often. Repent of your selfishness and greed and lust and anger and grudge holding and gossip and lack of devotion. And believe. Cling to the promise of your Lord. The promise that he is truly present in your midst here in his holy church to deliver to you the forgiveness, life, and salvation he won for you. Cling to the promise of your Lord that what you receive here really is a foretaste of the feast to come. That here your Lord prepares you for the day that is coming when he will return in great glory and usher in his eternal kingdom. Repent and believe, and come. Come, dear friends, and receive the Word of God made flesh, woman's offspring, pure and fresh. He has already taken care of all the preparations. That's his way. The table is prepared. The table the Lord, your shepherd, prepares in the face of your enemies. The sacrifice has been made. The feast is set before you. Come, taste, and see that the Lord who came to live and die for you, and who will come again in great glory on the last day to judge the living and the dead, comes to you here and now for the eternal good of your body and soul. This is what you do while you wait. You repent, you believe, and you come. Come, beloved, for the Apostle Paul states, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than we first believed. Salvation is very near to you. Salvation resides upon that holy altar. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Away from thy presence. And
Sent your Son to us as our King, righteous and having salvation. Help all your baptized people to wait in joyful hope for his appearing in glory, and by a faithful use of the means of grace, to prepare themselves for the coming kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of our salvation, remember our synod and district presidents, all pastors, teachers, deaconesses, and servants of the church. Strengthen each one to hold forth faithfully the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. Grant all congregations to increase and abound in love for one another and for all, that the schemes of the evil one may come to nothing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our God and Father, your Son is the righteous branch whom you sent to execute justice and righteousness on earth. Into your loving hands we commend all entrusted with public service among us, our President, the Congress, the Justices, all state and local magistrates, and all who serve in our armed forces, including Gabriel Blair, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, Johnny Peace, and Christopher Schott. Give them courage and wisdom in their duties, and guide them in the paths that please you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy One of Israel, the words of your Son do not pass away, but abide forever. Grant your people grace in these Advent days to set aside time from the busyness and hectic pace of our lives, to enter the quiet joy of your presence, that we might hear and ponder our Savior's words, and so come to the Christmas feast with glad and joyful hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, you teach the humble your way. Remember in your tender compassion all who pass through difficult and trying times, the hospitalized, the elderly, those taking treatments, the grieving and the lonely, and all who have asked our prayers, including Ralph Bolt, Joan Birch, Marion Greening, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Donna Bebo, Charlotte Dargy, Mary Gerard, Bill Harmon, Ken Hill, Leroy Isaacson, Joyce Kohler, Sarah Messer, Ella Shaw, Art Tennant, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curry, Jessica Updegraff, Scott McCullough, Joan Martins, Landon Culp, Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd and Lyle Duby, Maxine Cull, Phil Warsop, Lee G, Sherry Schaub, Joseph Tolk, Samantha Tolk, Elaine Wood, Jerry Howard, Pastor Dan Chambers, Robin Carter, Danielle West, Cassandra Helmis, Sally Sexton, Jeanne Weiser, Dan Freed, Chase Lessinger, Thelma Prusner, Matthew Hunter, Pastor Timothy Speckman, Pastor Bob Keppen, and Rosemary Reichardt. Bring them the comfort of your mercy and steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father of glory, your Son was welcomed into Jerusalem amid cries of blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Grant that we may welcome him anew today as he comes to us in his very body and blood, bringing us the gift of peace with you and the promise of glory in the highest. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving King, receive our thanks and praise for all whose hearts your Son has established blameless in holiness before you, his God and Father. The Father, the faithful departed, whom not we even now abide in his presence, and will appear with him when he comes in glory, to raise the living and the dead. Grant that we may be faithful unto death, and that we also may receive with them the crown of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. These things and whatever else you know us to need, most holy Father, grant us for the sake of him who is the Lord our righteousness, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
And salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The very body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you. bless and keep you in your baptism above all the things you do.
Thank you.
Now this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Upon you and give you peace.
Amen.